Okay, we're chapter 14, verse 6. Okay, the late searches for wisdom, and there is not. Can't find it. And the knowledge of the Navon is easy. Navon means that he could... a Navon is a person that could deduce and induce new information for himself. Okay? That's a Navon. Okay? Now, the late is, can't find wisdom. The question is why? Okay? That's the question. Why can't he find wisdom? Okay. Now, there is such a thing called lo lishma. Lo lishma means the incorrect motive. Okay? Now, if you have the incorrect motive, how do you ever get to the correct motive? That's the question. So if we, in other words, we have to understand how we get to the correct motive from the incorrect motive, then we have to see why the Leitz, who has an incorrect motive, why he can never get it to the correct motive. What's stopping him? That is the approach that we're taking in investigating this verse. Okay? All right. The answer is that mostly because of competition. You compete with people, there's certain competition, and you might have a certain religious feeling, and so because of this religious feeling, so you compete in the area, so you start competing. But when you compete, it depends how you compete. If you compete and you get the idea 100% clear, okay, so then that knowledge becomes a part of you, okay? Now, as it becomes a part of you, part of your nature, so then after a while you recognize the value of these ideas and then you don't need the competition or any other incorrect motive or lo lishma, you don't need that anymore. When it becomes part of you, when you become the Navon, where you become the thinker, where you could go in and out, analyze and think on your own and be creative, that's where it's really part of you. You see, that's where it's the real part of you. So then it becomes easy. It becomes easier to think. It's a natural thing. You don't need any incorrect motive to drive you. Okay? In other words, whenever there's an incorrect motive, the learning is you don't really want to learn, but it's the motive. So that makes it difficult. That's the difficulty, because if it was easy, so then you would just do it. But it's not easy. You need the incorrect motive to drive you. But when it becomes second nature and it becomes just easy to, then it becomes easy to think because you're drawn to the ideas itself. And that level is reached when you are creative. Okay? Now the question is, why can't the Leitz gain knowledge? Okay. The Leitz is a person that wants knowledge. But the reason why he wants knowledge is only to put people down. In other words, the best way of looking at a Leitz is a person that talks Lashon Hara. Now, you have to be careful here. Practically everybody talks Lashon Hara, but there are certain people that you know that their nature is to be a gossip. I mean, it's just a different type of person. It's not the regular part. I mean, there are people that talk Lashon Hara, but there's people that's their whole life. There's nothing else in their life but Lashon Hara. And so therefore, the Leitz is very negative. He has a very negative outlook on life, and he tries to always use anything he has to put people down. Feel like just that's why I say Lashon Hara. It's that's the idea. He's always trying to look for faults in people. And to do that, a lashon hara is always a projection. In other words, you don't look at the facts. It's not an analysis of the facts. It's where you project onto others your emotions. Okay? So the thing is that there's always a certain exaggeration in anything he gets. It's always an exaggeration for the means of putting other people down. Okay? So therefore, he can never get the information clear. That's why he can't have knowledge. Because he can't get the information clear, because his whole view of life is to find fault with every other person, with all other people. And to do that, he has to exaggerate or change the facts, like a projection. When you project onto others, you don't really see the facts. So he really never actually sees the facts, because he can't see the facts, so then he can never really be affected. That's why the late, even when he tries to get wisdom, any type of wisdom, he will not be affected. But other people, even if they do speak Lashon Hara, but there are other areas that they're interested in. It's not their total personality. Like, they have sometimes students that there's certain areas that they can't accept. I don't fight with them. I leave it go, but I work on the areas that they can accept. So those areas become a part of them. It doesn't matter which areas. Just, it's not even worth fighting. You understand? It's just a matter of getting ideas that can be real to them, and answer every one of their questions until it becomes clear, so that it becomes part of them, and then that part of them will help them deal with the other part that they can't see. So the question is, what is the subject of the verse? What is the subject? So the subject is the motive for learning. Either your motive, in other words, there's two types of incorrect motives for learning, okay? And one is beneficial, and one you can, it will stop you from seeing the truth. And the ultimate motive is where you see reality and you're just drawn to reality itself. That's the ultimate motive. Okay, very good. Verse 7.
Oh, Rabbi, I want to ask a question.
Okay. Verse 7. Go far from a person that's a ksil, or else you will not know the lips of knowledge. First question is, who is the ksil? And why is it that if you're friendly with him, you cannot gain knowledge? If you're with the Kassel, you'll lose out on knowledge. So the question is, why is that? I mean, just hanging around with a Kassel, who is this Kassel? A Kassel, we said before, in chapter 13, verse 19, it says, turning away from evil is an abomination to the Kassel. It's a disgusting thing. He cannot tolerate turning away from evil. Okay? In other words, whenever you work with a ksil, he has to go in his own way, and he can't listen to you in other words, if you say anything, he can't listen to you. He can't accept anything from you. And therefore, if you're going to deal with him, so then you're going to have to work in his framework. In other words, he can't see anything outside of his framework. So the only way to deal with him is within his framework. So then you're going to have to learn to think that way. It's going to destroy your mind. It's going to destroy your way of thinking. Okay? So the thing is that In other words, like for instance, in learning, you shouldn't learn with him. You shouldn't go in business with him. Shouldn't get any. And I mean, you could say hello to these people, but any type of business dealings you should not get involved in. Okay? Because since if you get involved with them, then they're going to be they always work in contrariness. They're always contrary to the way they're always trying to work things out in a weird way. And you can't operate with them. You have to be ruined. Okay? So the question is, what's the difference between the Leitz and the Ksil? They both come out the same result, but what is the difference between the two? Let's wait for the next verse to answer that question. Okay? Okay. Verse 8 is the wisdom of the Arum is to understand his ways, and the foolishness of the Ksil is trickery. Okay? Question is, what is the Arum, and why is the Ksil opposite Arum? Okay? We see the Ksil is opposite Arum, the Leitz is opposite a Navon. Okay? So we're going to have to try to explain these opposites. Okay? An Arum, now you have to be careful here. There's the term Arum that's used in the Torah by the snake. And he says that the snake was the most Arum of all the animals. Okay? What he means there is that he was really in Ksil or Mirma, okay? In Mishle, Arum is always used for good, okay? It's only a good person, a certain development Arum. In the Torah, in other areas of Torah, Arum could go either way, okay? But from what I've seen in Mishle can only be Arum is good. Okay? And therefore, the Arum in the Torah, where it talks about the snake, that's Mirma. Okay? That's trickery. Okay. So we have to understand the difference between the Arum and the Ksil. Okay? Both the Arum and the Ksil, well, first of all, we see from the Arum that he must have knowledge of the self. Says, because it says the wisdom of the Arum, he's defining the nature of the wisdom of the Arum, is to understand his own ways, meaning that he's able to get involved into his emotions and understand his emotions. You understand? He can get into the depth of his emotions. The Ksil also knows the emotions of people. You see, that's why it's the opposite. But he uses that knowledge of people for trickery, to fool them. That was like the snake. The snake understood the Chava, and therefore says he pushed her against it. And there's a whole trickery there, how he got into down. In other words, what happened was, as God said, don't eat from the tree. But if you notice, Chava said to the snake, when the snake said, why don't you eat from the tree, says, I can't touch the tree and I can't eat it. God never said you can't touch it. So she went to a little extreme. So he recognized that, and when you go through an extreme, you can't recognize the difference between what God said and what you said. If you protect yourself based on Chachma, so then you know the difference between the original command, and it's clear what is the protection. That's why when you're learning halacha, you should know those halachos which are deraisa, which come from God, and which come from the Rabbanon. You should know the difference, and which is just a minhag. You understand? But a person that goes based on his emotions can't tell the difference. Once he goes to an extreme, the extreme becomes equal to the original law. So the snake recognized that, and he pushed her against the tree. So he says, see, you touched the tree and you didn't die. So she said, yeah, right. So she thought she could eat from the tree. That's our room. It's based on the nature of the I mean, that's the really the ksil. The ksil knows the nature of the human, and he uses that to break him down. You understand? To destroy him. His desire is to break down and to destroy the people. To harm people. That's why the Orum and the Ksil are opposites, because both the Orum and the Ksil work with human nature, okay? While the Leitz does not work with human nature, he wants to think of himself as a wise person. You see, he says the Leitz wants to search for wisdom, and he doesn't get it. The Navon is a thinker. The Navon is not necessarily an Orum. The Navon is a person that knows how to think. He's being creative, but he didn't use that creative technique to investigate himself. That's a further development of the Orum. So therefore, the opposite of the Leitz is the Navon. They're both thinkers, you see, while the Ksil is opposite the Orum because they're thinkers, they're both thinkers, but they also have knowledge of human nature. One is to understand himself and how to benefit himself by this knowledge. That's the Orum. And the Ksil is to fake others out. Okay? So the thing is that the Leitz thinks of himself as a thinker and wants to gain knowledge. You understand? But the only thing is it's only for a negative thing to destroy others. You see? While the Ksil uses his knowledge of human nature to destroy. One looks at himself as a thinker, and one is out to destroy directly. It's a more direct thing. The results are the same. The results are the same. The Ksil would probably be more harmful than the Leitz. The Leitz is not as harmful as the Ksil because the Ksil has knowledge of human nature and is able to use your nature to destroy you. So the Ksil will be more harmful than the Leitz, and the Leitz distorts knowledge, but the Ksil uses his knowledge to destroy others. Okay? That is the difference between the two. But both of them... both of them, any type of real relationship with them will take away, they will totally destroy your thinking process. Because you're going to have to deal with them, you're going to have to think like them. It's going to be a catastrophe. The Ksil has knowledge, but uses it for harm. While the Leitz can't get the knowledge, because the thing is that he distorts it immediately. He can't get it correctly. That's the Leitz. Okay, that's why the Ksil is more harmful and more destructive. But both of them come out the same thing. If you really get involved with either one of them, you're going to be in trouble. It'll ruin your thinking. Verse 9 is Evilim. An Evil is a superficial type of fool. He's superficial. Okay? And it uses the word plural, evilim, because it says every evil must have this quality of yolitz osham. Yolitz means to intercede for him, and osham could be it could either be a sacrifice, like the Karban Osham, or I guess that's the best approach, okay? Best approach is he brings a Karban Osham. Uvein Yesharim, and among the Yosha is a clear thinker, person that's straight, that has a straight mind, is Ratzon, is his will. All right, we don't know what his will is. Who's him? His will. Okay? 1 second. And the question is, what's the difference between the first half and the second half? Why are they connected? What's the connection between the two? Okay? Okay.
Rabbi, do you...
Hey, once again, I'm translating the words. Avilim, an avil is a superficial thinker. Yolitz, some people translate it as elates. We're not translating as elates. We're translating it as a melitz yosha. Melitz means to speak or to intercede for another, for a person, to intercede. And an osham is a carbon osham, sacrifice for a sin offering. When I do a sin, there are different types of sin offerings. One is an osham. So if I do a sin, I bring a carbon osham. So the first half of the verse translates that the superficial fool uses the carbon osham to intercede for his sins. Okay? And the second half says, among the Yesharim, among the straight thinkers, is his will. Okay? What is his will? Some people say his will is God. Some people say his will means other people. But since it's not clear, the best thing is to say, Ratzon is the will of God and people. Okay? And among Yesharim is the will of God and people. Okay? All right. So the question is, what is this melitz? What is this interceder? And two is, what does the first half of the verse have to do with the second half? The answer is that people live a life and they do wrong and they bring a carbon osham to straighten themselves out. In other words, this, they got a God and they say, hey God, please forgive me, and they bring a sacrifice. The Yosher is a person that acts, he thinks correctly, means he acts correctly. He perfected himself to act correctly in all situations. Okay, whatever is necessary. In other words, he learned through Mishle, and he's working on different areas of Mishle to straighten out his mind and to think correctly. And the Avil, but that you have to go beneath the surface. The Avil doesn't go beneath the surface, so he looks at things superficially. Okay? So therefore, what happens is when he does the wrong thing, he feels guilty. He doesn't think it through. The only thing that he does is he feels guilty, so then he does the correct thing. The Avil, the only time he'll do something correctly is if he feels guilty. If he doesn't feel guilty, then he will not do the correct thing, because he doesn't see it. He doesn't see the benefit of doing the correct thing. So therefore, the Avil does, if an Avil does the correct thing, it's because of guilt. It's never because he sees anything. But the Yosher, he does the correct thing because he sees the benefit. You see? So the verse is saying there's two people that do the correct thing. One does it out of guilt, and one does it because he sees the truth, because he sees the real ideas. That is, and every avil, whenever he does a correct action, has to be out of guilt. That's why it says avilim plural. Each and every avil, if he does a correct action, it's only because of guilt. He doesn't see the value in it. But the yosher, he sees the value in the action, he sees the value in doing it, so he always does the act, and therefore he's always doing the correct will of people and of God and people. The Yosha could also make the mistake and also bring a carbon asham, but when he does it, he corrects himself and he sees the benefit and tries to straighten himself out. The Avil doesn't know how. He can't think about it. He doesn't know how to get beneath the surface, so he can't think about it. One more pasuk. Pasuk Yud. It says, the heart knows its own bitterness. Okay? And in his happiness, he cannot share with a stranger. Okay? Basically, both halves are saying that whether you're sad or happy, nobody else knows about it. Okay? And the question is why? Why not? Why can't I know how you feel? That's the question. When you experience sadness or happiness, it's an experience. I can't share an experience with you. Experience is by definition personal. Now, let's say, for instance, two people are mourning. Everybody mourns differently according to their personality. So the thing is, if I think that you're mourning and I understand what you are mourning because I am mourning, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. I'm not saying I can't see what you are, how you mourn or how you enjoy things. But then I have to look outside of myself. I have to look only at you and define how you look at life. Then I could understand. I can't experience it, but I could define it. But if I try to connect to you because I feel it, and therefore I say, and I see you say it, so you must feel it, you feel the same thing, that's impossible. That's a projection. So the thing is that you cannot know just because you feel something, that doesn't mean you know anybody else's, how they feel. Because two people could mourn, they mourn totally differently. It's like has practically have nothing to do with each other, and you have to relate to each one differently. The only way you can know is listen to what the person says, and when he talks about it, then define and clarify how he thinks about this situation. But it's then you could understand it. Can't experience it, but you could understand it. You understand? But if you go from your own experience, that's only a projection, and that would be incorrect. The question is, what is the reason King Solomon is telling me this verse? The answer is, he's telling me this so that I shouldn't make the mistake of trying to say that if I feel a certain way superficially, I should be able to tell you superficially. And by the way, this follows very well the Avil. The Avil would definitely do this. The last verse talks about the Avil, a superficial person, you see. So the thing is, the Avil definitely would make this mistake. And this is the way the Avil makes mistakes, because he can't go beneath the surface, so he looks at everything superficially.